I want to preach to you this morning, titled Pray for They. There's a passage of scripture here in John chapter 4 that the end part of what Jesus says to this woman and to the disciples just like blew up. I had a chance to share at the event last night, and I shared from this passage of scripture, and it lit up in me so much. Normally, I don't like to do this because I believe that God had given me a word for this morning, but I just could not get away from this, so I relented. And here we go. Pray for they. Each one of you guys, when you walked in, you should have got a handout that says, hello, we're glad you're here. We were going to save those for Easter. It was going to be the first Sunday that we were going to use them. On the back, it says notes, but for this Sunday, that is a lie. It is not for notes. I gave them to you for a very specific reason. So I'm going to ask you to refrain from writing on those. Take notes somewhere else. Take it on your iPhone. Grab your neighbor who has a beautiful journal and tear a page out of their journal if you'd like to take notes. Don't even ask them. We are a sharing church. Just reach over and rip it off. If they have better handwriting than you, wait until service is over, then rip it off and take it home so you can read it. All the holy people take notes. That's the express lane to heaven. That's like the 10 items or less. You show them your notebook and God's like, you're in. Pass the whole entire other line. That's not in the Bible. That's not a real thing. Don't tweet that. Nothing. That's for you and you alone. That is a... Let's not start the recording we put online until after this. So I'm not lying to the whole internet. People will be writing us emails. That pastor said there's an express lane. Chill out, bro. John chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 34 through 42. For the purposes of today's message, I want to say there are two groups of people. We, that's us in this room. Look at somebody and say, you are we. Look at your other neighbor and say, you are we. And then just say this, we are we. We, that is us in this room. There's a second group of people called they. Those are people who are not in this room that belong in this room. Look around at chairs next to you. That is a wasted opportunity. You see an empty chair next to you? Wasted opportunity. Missed opportunity. So we are we. Say we are we.
We are we.
They are they.
That's it.
I don't have a third thing. We are we and they are they. For today's purposes, there are two groups of people. We and they. Jesus says this to the disciples. They've had a long day and Jesus goes, go get me some food. I'm hungry. So they like leave to town. They come back. And they like have some food. Like I imagine they got like a double QPC meal because that's what holy people eat. It's Sunday. I've been eating paleo with Carly, and it's Sunday, so it's a free day, so I can have a cheeseburger today. I'm so psyched. I've eaten so much chicken salad in the last 2 weeks. It is insane. So they bring Jesus some food. They're like, Rabbi, eat. And then he says this to them, verse 34. Here's where we're going to start reading. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. What if this verse was your mission statement? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. What if we lived our lives as people who were out to do the will of him who sent us and to accomplish his work? What if our work aligned to his work? Instead of trying to make God's work align to our work, what if we asked God what his work was and then we aligned ourselves and our lives around his work? You see, we're supposed to follow Jesus' example, correct? Paul said this, follow me as I follow who? Christ. So we are following Christ. We're being conformed to the image of Christ, is what the Bible says. Daily, this is what's happening to us. So if Jesus says, yo, this is my MO, this is what I'm all about, this is what I'm here for, maybe we should take a clue. My food, they're like, Rabbi, eat some food. You told me you were hungry. It's been a long 2 days. This was supposed to be rest day, and you had compassion on the people. And we worked a whole nother day. Now you're hungry. Eat food. And he goes, guys, I have other food. It's to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And then he says this, do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? So they had a saying. This is like a colloquialism. Don't you guys say, he's like, you guys have a saying around here, right? That goes like this. There are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. And Jesus goes, this is what I'm going to tell you. Lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest right now. Here is their colloquialism. They would say, yeah, there's 4 months and then we'll harvest. It was kind of like, I could do it tomorrow. Tomorrow's still going to be here. Tomorrow's another day. Let's relax. This was their saying. There are still 4 months and then we'll harvest. And Jesus goes, I have different food and it's to do the will of my Father. You guys say, let's just take a break and chill. Jesus goes, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. If you've read the beginning of this story, what you would know is that this woman, the Samaritan woman, had gone to her town about a quarter mile up the road. Jesus had an encounter with her. She ran back to her town, told everybody about what was going on. And the Bible tells us that people are walking down the road toward Jesus at this moment. Like the road is filled with people coming out of this town to come see him. And Jesus goes, hey, guys, I got different food. I'm doing the will of my Father. You say, let's hang out for a little bit. I tell you, look up. He's telling them, literally, look up and look at the road. Like, you think I'm here, so I'm going to do the work. What I'm telling you is look up, because the fields are white for harvest. Verse 36. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. 37. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. Go back to verse 36 for me for a second. I want to park here. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages. We have a very visionary church in a lot of things that we do. We love to talk about what we are doing and what God is going to do and what we will accomplish. But we must never forget what God is doing right now in the present time. It is good and it is healthy to look to the future, but never to the detriment of what is going on. Jesus says, you guys are thinking that the harvest is coming. I say, look, it's here. And Jesus goes, already the one who reaps is receiving wages. Like, this is already happening. If you saw what took place at Life Center last night with all these churches, you know this scripture is true. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages. It's happening all around you. There are people. Well, I don't want to get there yet. Already this is happening. Notice around you, I'm hearing more and more stories of life change at Genesis Church. I was just talking with a young couple in the church this last week. And we had a young man come and talk about auditioning for the music team. And he's going to end up auditioning. And he was invited by another young couple in our church. And I just told him, I said, I was encouraging them and saying, like, isn't that so cool that that's how that happened? Like, the pastor didn't invite this person. Like, you guys come here and you attend faithfully, but you just had somebody that you really cared about and you invited them. And now they have found a place that they were like, this is the church that I have been looking for. And they are getting plugged in. Do you see that's how it works, Genesis Church? Yo, we put our messages online and we have announcements and those things are great, but they are nowhere near as effective as you walking across the street and shaking somebody's hand and telling them about what God is doing in your life, telling them about what God is doing in your church. If you have the Genesis app, you'll notice a new tab on the front page called Table Talks. If you've opened it recently for your Ryzen 9 and seen it, I would encourage you to watch that video. It is a 2-minute synopsis of how to tell somebody about Genesis Church. Digest it, learn it, own it. Make it a part of who you are. I'm wearing a backwards flat bill to make everybody feel comfortable. But church, that's how it works. Have we had people who have come here because they heard somebody shared a message online? Absolutely. But I bet the vast majority of people in this room is because somebody they cared about took enough time to invite them. That's already happening. Do you see the harvest is already happening? It's not something out in the future. Will there be a great harvest in the last days? Absolutely. But that does not do anything. It does not take anything away from the harvest that is currently taking place in our midst today, Genesis Church. Already, Jesus says, already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life. So the sower and reaper may rejoice together. The saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. And then Jesus says, this is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. You know, studies tell us this, that people are waiting to be invited to church on Easter. I'm sure if you've been in church world for any amount of time, you've heard that over and over and over again. But it is a real true thing. A lot of people don't know where to go to church, what that looks like. They're uncomfortable. They have some kind of idea about what church is. You know what they need? A normal person like yourself, not the sandwich board mafia. I just saw that dude out in front of River Park Square again. He straight up said this. He was like, you think God is a God of love, but the old-fashioned judgmental God is sending you to hell because you're liars. And I'm like, I can't wait until these people come into my church. Like, he's just full-on telling this to them, sandwich board mafia and his megaphone. And I'm like, what is the purpose of that? Like, what does that guy think he's going to accomplish by saying an old-fashioned judgmental God is sending you to hell? Like, you'll be so terrified that you'll run to the church. That's like somebody saying, yo, your dad's going to beat you up when you go home. So you go home. I better get home. I'm so scared of my dad beating me up. I better get there. The logic is mind-blowing. You have a truly dizzying intellect. Does not make sense. But people are waiting to be invited to your church. They are waiting for you to ask them to come. 86% of Spokane does not attend church on a regular basis. In the 99208 zip code, there are 35,000 people in this zip code. It's the most densely populated zip code in our city. So that means if we just do nice round numbers, that's about 31,500 people in our zip code who do not regularly attend church. We got like Deer Park people in the house. That's like twice the population of your city in this zip code who don't regularly attend church. They're waiting. The field is white for harvest. You know what you have to do to harvest something? Walk up and touch it. I think the church for too long has been praying for harvest instead of harvesting. Can we just walk up and pick something off? I'm not saying stop praying for harvest. I'm saying do some work. You can do both. Blessed be it. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what? Because of the woman's testimony. Yo, I've been doing this for a while, so I've become pretty good at communicating the gospel. But this says very clearly, many Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. And let me tell you her entire sermon. The Bible lays out her entire sermon for us. It goes this, he told me all that I ever did. That was her whole sermon. Like, what if I showed up and that was my sermon? God told me all that I ever did. Let's have communion, brothers. You would feel a little ripped off. Some of you drive for like an hour to get here. That brother said, he told me all I did. We took communion. I had to drive back home. I'm trying to get you out of here for the Gonzaga game. Come on. He told me all that I ever did. That's her sermon. Verse 40, it says this. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. He stayed there for 2 days. Verse 41, and many more believed because of his word. And then here it is, they. We are we. They are they. They said to the woman. This is what I'm praying for on Easter. They said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. What was her testimony? It was a door. Better yet, her testimony, I would say, was the door knob that somebody turned and swung it wide, and they walked through it into the kingdom of God. Here's what I pray, because we are we and they are they. And I pray that as we as a church continue to grow and God is moving and doing things, do you realize this? That we will be inconvenienced for they. You are going to be inconvenienced for they. If you don't like being uncomfortable and you like things being super convenient, you're probably not going to last long around here. We love to have you. I'm by no means kicking you out. But if somebody recognizes your face around here, they may ask you to give up your chair for they. Because here's the thing. Somebody's they is coming every single week. Somebody's they. That they have been praying for. We have been praying for they. Somebody's they probably came this morning. You very well may be somebody's they. Why do we serve the way that we do? Because they might be here today. If your they showed up today, you would probably serve a little differently, wouldn't you? If you had an honored guest come to your house, you would take care of them. If family comes over, maybe you wear shoes. And you put out string cheese and club crackers and like, get after it. If an honored guest comes, it's a little different. You are putting drinks out. You are walking around making sure everybody's okay because they are an honored guest. Somebody's they is coming every single week. We should be serving them as if they were our they. You should be, I don't care if you serve on a team here at Genesis Church or not. You've been around here long enough. If you have, you know that's the info center and that's where you get people connected. Walk them over there. It's your first time? Awesome. Hey, let me take you over to the info center. My name is so-and-so. You just introduce yourself and let us serve people up in this room. Somebody's they is probably here today. And there's going to be a whole lot of they here next Sunday. A whole lot of they. And this church will always be the kind of church that is inconvenienced for they. Do you realize Jesus was inconvenienced for lost people? I'll prove it to you. The Bible tells us a story in Luke. You throw that up there for me. Luke chapter 15. Says this. Jesus is talking to a group of people and he goes, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders. He carries it back rejoicing. Got a little skip in his step. When he comes home, he calls together all the people, all the neighbors, and he goes, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. That's they. Over one sinner who repents than all of the we. There will be more joy in heaven for one they than 99 we. Why will we be inconvenienced for they? Because the story here, the shepherd had to leave the 99 to go find the one and carry them. What if you had to carry somebody here? We ask this question a lot. Who are you willing to carry? Who are you willing to carry here on Sunday morning? Who is your they? Because here's what we are praying, that they become we. We are praying for they, knowing that there is a high chance that if you could just get them here. Maybe your whole entire sermon is like this. He told me everything I ever did. Maybe that's your whole entire sermon. But you notice that when they got around Jesus, they invited him to stay a little longer. He stayed for 2 days and they listened to him. And then finally they told the woman, listen, we don't believe anymore because of what you said. But we have heard for ourselves. We have heard for ourselves and we know that this truly is the Son of God. Who is your they? I want to ask you that this morning. Who is your they? I'm talking like I want you to get a specific person in your mind. Who is your they? I told you that we handed these out for a reason. I want you to get those little cards out right now. I'm asking you to be bold. In just a second, we're going to conclude our service taking communion together. But I want you to get bold. I want you to find a pen, somebody around you, and I want you to write the name of your they on that card, the section that says notes, big letters. I want you to write that, and here's why we're going to do that. Because I'm going to ask you if you'd be so bold when we come up to take communion. I want you to drop those right here. And I'm going to take those this week. I'm going to pray my guts out for your day. I felt so inspired by the Holy Spirit this morning. Like I said, we're not going to pass those out until next week. But I want you to write the specific name of your they on that card. What is this also doing? It's kind of some like a bit of accountability. You don't have to write your name. It could be completely anonymous. But once you've written something down, it becomes more real to you, doesn't it? Like when you write down your to-do list and you realize, oh my gosh, that's longer than I thought. It makes it real. I really have to do this list. Church, this week we are going to pray for they. Yeah, if you don't have pens, just grab one from somebody around you. Let's get super Sherry. Is anybody in here named Sherry? I don't think so. We don't have any Sherrys. That's kind of a cool name, I just realized. It's like sharing. Sometimes I'm a tiny child in my brain. Church, I'm praying for they this weekend. Coming up this weekend, that they would become we. Some of you in this room have been praying for people for months, maybe years, maybe decades. Like if you already wrote a name, maybe write another one with this prompt. I want you to write like the most impossible person you think would ever come to church. Like if that wasn't your they, then that's completely fine. I'll pray for two people. But like you think like there's no way this person would come to church with me, but you've been praying for them. I want you to write down that name as your they. And I promise you, these things are going to be prayed over by myself. I'll probably share them with Rayanne as well. Rayanne heads up our prayer team. And we're just going to pray. In fact, can we stand as a church?